And if you happen to live in the greater St. Louis area, Illinois, right across the Mississippi, love for you to be part of a studio audience in June, the end of June. Send an email to this email address, cometoshow@yahoo.com. cometoshow@yahoo.com. Put your name and phone number in there, and producers will get right back to you. And if you're in that area and you're available, love to have you in the audience. We're going to come back in a moment, wrap up the final hour of Open Line. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let's go right back to the calls. These hours just fly, don't they? Let's go to Jan in Brooklyn, New York. Well, hello, Jan.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. You know, person that's powerful like you, are you aware that people who aren't as powerful, the electromagnetic fields bother them a lot?
Yes, I know that.
Yes. You know that. Okay. I just want to tell you two things quickly.
Okay.
You know when the most horrible, outrageous thing they're doing now?
What? What are they doing?
I can't believe the stupidity. This is the people from Silicon Valley, you know, the brains of this country, and they just developed something that's so, so horrible. It's a nightmare.
What is it?
The computer watch that they... wear on their wrists, because everything in a 5-inch radius of your body affects your energy field. Even watches, it's written up in the internet, it can give you a heart attack because the rhythm goes against the rhythm of your heart.
You're kidding.
And to get a computer on your wrist, it's completely nuts. I mean, these people are insane.
Jeez.
You didn't think of that one, huh? I got you a new thing to think about. And then, seriously, you're very powerful. You really are.
Thank you, Jim.
I met you at the expo, and I could see how powerful you were. And the thing is, you said something that, you know, all these things give off electromagnetic fields, and someone like you would not feel it. But someone like me, it makes me ultra weak. You know what that is that you told people to get?
What?
Those smoke detectors and the carbon things in their house, carbon dioxide, they give off a field. And if you're like in a one-room apartment and you're close by it, it can really mess
yeah,
you
but
up.
They could save your life, too, from a fire or carbon monoxide.
It's very rare that there's going to be a fire, but you're having that field constantly that's making you exhausted. They're going next door to me. Is in a state of exhaustion all the time.
Huh. I don't know. I'd rather have one, I think. One of those.
No, that's because you don't feel the field.
Because I'm powerful.
You're so powerful. You don't know what it feels like. You're a powerful man, George.
Oh, yeah, but I'm a human, Jan. I mean, I should be subject to the same frailties as everybody else.
No. If people have a strong aura, they don't feel this electromagnetic field that much. And it's completely different. I went from Sergeant's with an osteopath, and he says, some people feel everything and some people won't feel anything. And, you know...
You think my aura just pushes it off, huh?
That's right. You're a real big aura.
All right. Nice to know that. Let's take another call, then we'll take a text from you, Tom, as you go through your phone. That never stops. Let's go to Vancouver, Washington, west of the Rockies. Howard's with us. Hello, Howard.
Good evening, George. Good talk to you.
You too, sir.
I had a little experience about 2 weeks ago I thought you might find interesting.
Okay, what happened?
I was getting ready to go to bed. I live in a house here that's on an acre. It's back, kind of back in the trees. And I was just closing up the curtains, and something caught my eye out there. And turned around and looked, and it was a kind of a glowing purple orb just kind of moving around among the trees out there.
How big? What do you think?
Oh, maybe about, you know, probably about 10 inches, something like that.
Like a basketball.
About basketball size, yeah.
Okay.
And I watched that, and it as soon as I looked at it, it seemed like it knew I was looking at it. It rose up, and it came straight down the driveway, right straight towards the house.
Jeez.
And
sure it wasn't ball lightning, right?
No.
This had some intelligence behind it.
But my heart was kind of pounding, and I, you know, my curiosity got the best of me. I watched it come down, and it went to one side and kind of went around the corner of the house. And I had to go out and look. I went out the front door and went around the side. And you know, my dad always taught me, when you peek around a corner, you know, you get down low.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Expect you to look.
So for two reasons. So they don't see you and to protect you.
Yes, I got down on my knees and peeked around, and I found myself face-to-face with a big purple party balloon. And it had a light inside.
Bouncing around.
Yeah, it said happy birthday on the side.
I love it. That's but a good...
I just wanted to kind of put an advisory out there to people, you know, that these things are out there. I brought it inside the house and popped it and got it open, and there's a very bright little, about an inch long, little tiny LED light inside of it.
Well, remember, I always think for the most logical conclusion first, then you can go into the extraterrestrial realm or the paranormal realm. Text message. What do you got, Tom?
From Derek in Manhattan, New York. Hey, George, this is a hard question, but if you could only choose one thing, what would you change about our government?
Well, I'd get them all to resign, and we'd start over. Something like that.
Just fire them all?
All of them. Even the few good ones that are there. It's the only way to clean the thing out.
How about no taxes?
Well, as you know, I'm a proponent in doing away with the income tax.
I think we all
are. I think
we
need to go to a fair use tax, help people with vouchers who don't make a lot of money, but give us as much of our money as we can. And I really believe that. I mean, that would have been one of my platforms had I run back in 2012 when some people were pushing me to do that.
I think it'll be there eventually. Maybe we won't be around.
Did you want to be chief of staff? I think you did, didn't you?
100%.
Not press secretary?
No.
Why not?
Because I want to be chief of staff.
What would you do?
Whatever the president tells me to do.
You don't listen to me now.
You're not the president, are you?
I'm as close to it in this place as you can get. Next up, Deborah's in Indianapolis. Welcome to the show. Hi, Deborah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've got a couple things. Can you hear me all right?
I sure can.
Okay. One, would you put me and my family and some friends in prayer? Two, Greg Garrison is an attorney here in Indianapolis, and you might recognize the name from the Mike Tyson trial. He has been talking for quite a while about a way to strengthen the grid. And I thought maybe you might want to get in touch with him.
He's on our side. Greg Garrison.
Yeah, at MS Communications, WIDC.
Okay.
And then two more things. Do you still have the recording of the gentleman who called his boss and said, I'm sorry, I'm going to be late. I'm stuck in traffic.
I do that. I'm not going to run it right now, but I'll do it in a few months. I haven't played it. How long, Danny? It's been a long time, hasn't it? Yeah, but I'll play it in a couple months as we get into the fall.
And the last thing, I think 2007 or 2008 early, you were going to have Satan, the devil, as a guest. And then the decision was made to cancel that show. I believe that was Obama.
No, he's not Satan. All right, thanks. Poor old president's getting his too. Poor guy. May not be the greatest president. He's made a lot of mistakes. A lot. I don't get into the political stuff. I could change everything, right? And come out and do what everybody does during the day with my spin, of course. But to say that one would be disappointed after he was given such a mandate, yeah, I think so. It's time for a presidential change, and let's see what happens. But I got to tell you, have we really seen any great candidates? I mean, really spectacular candidates yet? I think the Republicans are fielding, what, 15 of them now or something? Who knows? Can't keep track of them. Let's go to Richie in Los Angeles. Richie, your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hey, George. What
hey,
a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks.
I've been listening to you for years as I can.
Well, thank you.
And I want you to do something for me, and it's to give yourself a hug for me. You educate so many people, and you help so many folks. I don't know if you know the staggering value of it, okay? I did want to make a quick statement about, you mentioned that guy who got his throat cut.
Yes, the yeah. Navy guy. Unbelievable story.
Isn't that gross? Ah, boy. And I know when, you know, psychological things, you mentioned psychiatry and the guy, you know?
Yeah.
When that happens, you get on Dr. Peter Bregan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I work at a nonprofit, and we've been tracking psychiatry since 1969.
All right.
With unbelievable facts. It's a free museum in Hollywood. And there's a website. If people want to get some facts, data that will protect them, I think they'll love it. We get a lot of classes, nurses, criminal justice. We had Homeland Security go through now like 5 times. It's very educational.
Really? That's good.
Yeah.
Wonder if
Can
we
I
should
do that? Yeah. It's called Citizens Commission on Human Rights.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. And quite a museum. And the website is CCHRINT, I-N-T for international, .org.
Who funds you? Who funds you, folks? How do you operate?
Oh, it's we have first off, there's memberships. We do all kinds of events, like we have a golf tournament in the fall. It's just a fun thing, and of course, we're always calling people for donations because we're a nonprofit. So it's basically funded by people come to the museum or know about it and want to help protect others.
All right. Well, you keep doing what you're doing. I think that's a great cause. It really is. And you know what? If a few people want to go and help you out, more power to them. Frank's in Hollywood, Maryland. It's your turn. Frank, how are things?
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
You too.
I wanted to thank you for the Louis Gossett Jr. interview, of which I participated.
Yes, you did it. I love that
nice
guy.
Man.
Super.
Thankful man. And with an illustrious career. I enjoyed that so much. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about, what constitutes a world war? Does the United States, Russia, or China have to be involved to call it a world war? We're in a world war right now with this evil ISIS organization. Why doesn't the people of the governments of the world, they only have, okay, they give them 40,000 combatants. Let's just say they're 40,000 strong. I doubt if they're 40,000 strong, but let's give them that. With the NATO and the civilized countries of the world, each country giving 10,000 troops on the ground, we could wipe them out in 6 weeks.
Frank, but they don't want them eradicated. I think they like the fact that they're there creating chaos while the oil wells pump. And all those poor people there are in misery.
The thing, why they're so fixated on Syria and Bashar Assad, get him out of the way later. But they seem more, they want to get him out of the way more so than they want to get ISIS out of the way.
Well, and let me tell you this, Frank, look what happened when we got rid of Saddam Hussein, when we got rid of Mubarak, when we got rid of Gaddafi. All those areas have basically crumbled. They're a mess. I still think Egypt's a mess, contrary to what some people might believe. Iraq is a disaster. Libya is a disaster. They're saying now that ISIS is going through Libya to go into Europe. It's a mess. At least say what you would about Gaddafi. And the guy was, he was not a Boy Scout. But you know what? After Reagan bombed one of his palaces and killed a wife and a kid, sadly, he shaped up. He turned in his weapons of mass destruction. He stopped his nuclear program. And you know what? He started attempting to be a Boy Scout, believe me. But the one thing he did was he kept the lid on things until we, of course, got behind it and got him out. And he went out fast. You saw the way they butchered him. Just go to YouTube. Google Gaddafi murdered, and you'll see how they killed him. The Saddam Hussein thing going into Iraq, that was a disaster, and that's still haunting us. At least those dictators kept things in order. And Saddam Hussein, he was on basically on our side until this Kuwaiti war happened in 1991, because he was basically tricked after he asked us that he wants to solve this, and we basically told him this is an Arab issue, do what you have to do. It's a mess. The whole thing's a mess. That's my story, Frank. What do you think?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What? Who on earth would consider Saddam Hussein as the third, the second or third Antichrist? This stupid dictator, you can't give him that much credit.
No, you can't. He's
not. Why did we want to put an embassy in Libya so fast after Gaddafi left with no protection, and then these double cross the people we liberated? Why couldn't they protect the embassy?
You, my friend, should be running the government, not those people.
These guys double-crossed us after we liberated them.
They always do. And we give them money, and we give them arms, and we give them weapons. Take a look at these so-called ISIS people. You look at them with all their little parades, holding their black flag. They're in brand-new Humvees and trucks. They got better trucks than most American guys and women are driving out here.
When I saw all those new AK-47s that had never been shot before.
Brand-new.
Where did they get these weapons?
And they're getting uniforms and clothes. Who's giving that to them? It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Let's take another call or two, then the break. Phyllis is in North Carolina. And on Coast to Coast. Hello, Phyllis.
Hi, George. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to share kind of a personal story with you.
Sure.
In 2008, my daughter died.
I'm sorry to hear that.
About 3 days before she died, my granddaughter came across the field and she said, "My dad would like for you to come over and see what's in our house." So I walked across the field because we live on a farm, and there was a dove there, and it stayed on the top of the eave of his house, and it stayed there for 3 days. But for some reason, I told my son, I said, "That's an omen." And I said, "Somebody you know really well is going to die." And we talked a little bit, and I came back on home, and that was on Sunday afternoon. And on Tuesday morning, we got a call that my daughter had been found dead.
What happened to her?
She had just had colon surgery and had 22 inches of her bowel removed. And she had come home from the hospital, and during the night she got up, and she takes some kind of cold medicine, pain medicine that the doctor had given her, and she went to sleep, lay down on the couch so she wouldn't wake her husband up, and she went to sleep and never woke back up.
Oh, boy. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, after that I had a dream, and I went to heaven, George.
I bet you did.
I met her in heaven, and she said, "Mama, why are you so sad?" And I said, "Baby, you died." And she said, "Mama, it was my time. It was my time, Mama."
Hmm.
So since then, I've been several times to heaven and talked with her. And it has helped a lot. It was really bad when it first happened. But I was so amazed at what I told my son. I said, "Somebody you know really well is going to die." And why I said that, George, I have no idea. But I've always heard that if a bird comes to your house like that and stays around growing up, that it's like an omen that you're going to hear of somebody dying.
Yeah, that's right. That's what my mom told me. Same kind of thing. I probably got the same kind of phobia now. I really do. And again, our condolences on the loss of your daughter. We're going to come back in a moment and wrap things up with some final open line calls. I'm going to end the program tonight with an incredible work by the country singer Charlie Daniels. I'm going to give UFO Phil just a break for tonight, just for tonight. But wait till you hear this. It's about the apocalypse. You got to hear it. But we'll be back with your calls. Some breaking news here for you, too. Shots fired at a Dallas police headquarters in the wee hours of Saturday. A witness told police the suspects who opened fire at about 12:30 a.m. were in an armed vehicle. They responded to the incident. They have pursued the gunman. They have apparently trapped the vehicle on an interstate. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned to your internets and your local stations for more information there. This weekend, Connie Willis on Saturday. I'll be on Sunday. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're going to go to Poulsbo, Washington. First-time caller, Douglas is with us. Hey, Douglas, thanks for hanging in there so long.
Oh, you bet. How you doing, George?
I'm good. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, doing all right. Good to meet you.
You too.
I love the show. I've been listening, unfortunately, since Sandy Hook. I don't have a TV or anything.
Ah, okay.
Great show. A few things. Tonight, during one of the first guests was on, a man called in from Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Explaining about the Koreans have superstitions about you will die if you sleep with a fan on.
That was strange, wasn't it?
Well, yes, I lived in Korea for a year, and I heard the same thing as well.
Huh.
I don't speak Korean very well, but they said something like you would get a cold, you know, catch a cold and die.
Aha. Well, they're pretty susceptible to those kinds of things.
Yeah, but a place where I do speak the language is Japan. I lived for the better part of two decades in Japan, and they say the same thing, that you'll die if you fall asleep with the fan on you.
Interesting.
And they say that it'll, like, well, I know a fan blows air, but they say it will suck the breath out of you, or suck the life, the air out of you.
Oh, boy.
And you'll die.
Well, we got to remember not to keep the fan on when we're sleeping.
But I slept with there was one place I lived that didn't have air conditioner, and I slept with three fans on me. And I'm not a ghost. I'm speaking with you.
Yeah, you're still kicking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, geez, funny. And you mentioned earlier about your late grandfather, and that his superstition with shoes.
With shoes, yeah. He thought that if a shoe was tipped upside down or on its side, that it was bad luck and you could die.
Oh, okay. Well, and I believe you said you'd never, ever heard of anyone else having that superstition.
No.
Well, that's why I had to call, and I'm glad I got on tonight, because Japanese children, it's nothing that's a superstition, but more akin to well-wishing. When they play outside, they can do it at any time, but the time they usually do it the most is like when they're on the swings.
Okay.
Swinging on swings. And they will kick their shoes, or a shoe, off high into the air.
Okay.
And while it's, you know, in the air, they'll shout, "Ashita i tenki na de," which means tomorrow be sunny. And if the shoe lands, you know, upright, you know, sole on the ground and, you know, normal position,
it'll be a good day.
It'll be a sunny good. It'll be sunny the next day. If it lands on its side, it'll be cloudy. And if it lands upside down, rain.
And is that custom hold up?
I never tested it, but sometimes during the rainy season, we can get lucky.
that is amazing. Douglas, thanks for the call. That's amazing how these myths are done all around the planet. Indeed. Final text, Tom. What do you have for us?
Hey, by the way, are you getting any buzz? I'm getting a bunch of texts that Jurassic World opened.
Jurassic World opened up last week.
Tonight, I think, right?
There are some reviews that aren't that great about it. I mean, the people I know loved it, just loved it. But some other people think that paleontologists, for example, hate it. They say it's just a poor depiction of the way dinosaurs really were, in terms of what happened back millions of years ago. That's not the text message, is it?
No, but they're rolling in. I just thought I'd let you know. Maybe we should go see it. So this one's from Samantha in Manhattan. She says, "I'm one of the very few people that would not mind being chipped. I've heard your guests that are against it, but if it makes our lives easier in many ways, is it really so bad?"
I think it is. I think Catherine Albrecht is absolutely right. I got a new credit card today from my credit card company. And they sent me a letter, and they said, "We're sending you a new credit card with a new embedded chip in it." And so I got it. I don't know what it's going to do, but I've got a new chip in my credit card. And I don't think I would get chipped. Now, let me ask you this. You've got a dog. You've got little Freddy.
Yes, I do.
Is he chipped?
As a matter of fact, he is.
He is chipped.
We couldn't get him.
Catherine thinks that they're susceptible to tumors and things like that near the chip.
I've done the research.
You know what?
It's
We've had stories where dogs have been lost, and 5 years later, 7 years later, somebody realizes maybe the dog's been chipped, and they find the owner.
Right.
So if Freddie got lost today, would that chip help you?
It would, but what I didn't get out to you is that the chip is on his collar. It's not in him.
Oh, okay. But he always wears the collar.
Right, of course.
Plus, he drives around L.A. in a limo.
No, he doesn't. So listen,
he does.
You shop a lot, right? So what if you could just go to, like, a grocery store and slide your wrist across there and pay for your groceries?
And what if somebody chops your wrist off?
What if you
to get to your bank
walk across the street and get hit by a car?
No, I'm talking about a criminal. If you let's say you needed your eye to get inside a building,
right?
If somebody plucked your eye out to break in, think about that. Let me take another call or two, and then we got Charlie Daniels standing by, the country western singer, talking about the apocalypse. You've got to hear this. Let's go to Anthony in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Anthony, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, George.
Hi.
We talk about myths about birds.
Yeah.
Year 2000, I was working out in the gym in Fort Lauderdale. Bright sunny day, next to the window, I look over and I see this owl sitting in two stories up where I was at in the gym. And I heard a guy next to me say, there's a myth of this. There's somebody's family member is going to die.
Oh, geez.
That owl is trying to, and my sister... About a week after that, I got a call.
Oh.
She went in a coma, and my sister's a lot like your sister. We both experienced brain tumors.
Yeah, horrible.
But the owl just kept staring at me, like, "Hey, I'm trying to get your attention," and it was just like a weird feeling, the energy off the owl. And then another one about a few years later in a neighborhood, another owl. In the day, I'm like, what is this owl doing out during the day? And then I heard the neighbor's got lung cancer, and he passed away 2 weeks later. So that's two things with owls. And one more thing.
Sure.
The two convicts that they're trying to find in New York.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny when Governor Cuomo was talking, just before he went on the microphone, you could hear the crow, caw, 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 three times behind him. And
oh,
they didn't do it anymore.
That's an interesting myth right there.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I have. And
okay.
Good show, George. Thank you.
Of course, we did a show a couple months ago that September 13th would be the day of the Shemitah. It's Jewish. And it could mean a collapse. I'm going to look at that date because we're getting close to it. We really are. But there's something that has to do with the apocalypse. And it's called Behold a Pale Horse. And there are a lot of people who think we are indeed now in the beginning stages of end times. Well, country western singer, great music singer, Charlie Daniels, who fought his way to the success that he did, has a song, Behold a Pale Horse. Kind of ominous, isn't it? For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.